arm from where he stood near the gravesite. The service is about to start. The short service passed in a blur. When it was Hannah's turn to drop dirt onto the casket, as was the custom among her people, she came to full awareness. Noah gave her a little shove forward. She scooped a handful of mud. The earth clung to her fingers, the cold penetrating to the bone, and refused to drop onto the casket. It was like her own refusal to let go of her family. She shook her hand and finally succeeded in tossing down clumps of mud. Holding her head up, she turned from the open graves and found herself facing Ellen Long across the field. When Hannah inhaled sharply, her cousin Luca glanced at her with a question in his eyes. In Hannah's mind, the strychnine in the cookies proved Cyrus's guilt, though no one could understand the reason he would take two lives and then his own. The detectives were still investigating. They had questioned his wife, who tearfully proclaimed that she knew nothing about it. Luca turned to look. "It's Mrs. Long. We need to talk to her." Hannah shook her head, her gaze still on the young woman in the sky-blue suit. "Not me. Luca, her husband, killed my parents." She couldn't tear her gaze away from the pretty blonde. She embraced the bitterness and anger rising in her chest. The man had some sick and twisted reason to kill her family. It wasn't Hannah's fault. Didn't Ellen realize her presence here would cause them all pain? The young woman was struggling to walk in inappropriate heels that sank into the mud. Her hair drooped in wet strands around her face. From here, it looked as though black ringed her eyes. Hannah rejected the pity, struggling to emerge from her emotions. Surely the woman had known her husband hated the Schwartz family. Maybe she had participated in the murders. Cyrus had to have had an accomplice, someone to run off with Mom's quilts. The bishop approached. "How are you doing, Hannah?" She wanted to scream that she couldn't answer that question one more time, but she just hung her head and said nothing. If she could wish herself away from here, she'd leave in a heartbeat. Everyone expected so much from her, but she had nothing left to give. "Hannah, Mrs. Long is here. You need to speak to her. Tell her you forgive Cyrus." Luca took her forearm in a firm grasp. "We'll do it now. Both of us."
"No!"
Hannah jerked her arm out of Luca's grasp, and he let his hand drop.
"We have no one left. I don't want to talk to her."
With a shock, she recognized that the hatred she felt toward Ellen Long was a thin veneer over her own self-hatred. Hannah, not Ellen, was the one who was guilty. God had merely used the Longs to punish her.
"You have to forgive, Hannah. You know it is required."
The bishop took her firmly by the arm and began tugging her toward the woman, who stood with a pleading smile, watching them approach. Noah flanked Hannah's other side, his hand on her arm as well. She felt as though she were being dragged to the gallows. Something broke in Hannah. She dug her heels into the soft earth that had received the earthly remains of her family.
"No, I won't," she said,
her voice rising above the shriek of the wind. She tore herself free from their grips. A flash of light caught her eye, and she saw a sheriff's car pull to a stop on the soft shoulder of the dirt road. Reese got out of the driver's side. He saw her and jogged to meet her.
"Are you okay?"
Luca moved toward her again as Hannah shrank against Reese.
"Come, Hannah. It must be done."
Reese's strong arm came around her.
"Don't touch her. She doesn't want to go with you."
"Please stay out of this, deputy. It's something Hannah must do for her own good."
Luca attempted again to tug her away from Reese. Reese's other arm came up, and he tore Luca's hand away from Hannah's arm.
"She's free to go if she wants, Mr. Schwartz, but I won't have her forced. Hannah, do you want to go with him?"
"No."
She burrowed closer against Reese's barrel chest.
"You heard the lady."
Reese turned away, with his arm still around her, and moved her away from Luca. Only Hannah saw his smile.
If she had to talk to Ellen, she would babble out her own guilt. She couldn't forgive the Long family any more easily than she could forgive herself. They were all in this together, if everyone just knew the truth. Reese moved her away from the rest of the group. "You're still shaking. What did he want?" Hannah couldn't talk about it. She couldn't face what she'd become. Inhaling the spicy scent of his cologne, she knew he would rescue her. She had to be brave enough to let him. "I'll marry you," she gasped. "But we must go now, quickly, before they can stop us." Reese's hands tightened on her shoulders. "Are you sure, honey? There's no going back."
"I'm sure."
She'd chosen her course. God had rejected her. She was anathema. 4. "Someday you'll marry a good man, Hannah. Trust him and submit to him." Patricia Schwartz. The new clothes Reese had insisted on buying Hannah were alien, strange to her skin. The skirt just touched her knees, and her arms were bare for the first time other than when she bathed. She tugged on the V-neck of the blouse and wished for a shawl in the dimly lit Market Street grill. Trains chugged around the bar, but she kept her gaze averted. Bars were where the devil and his crowd hung out. Why would her new husband bring her here? Wabash. She'd never been farther than Niceville. She stared out the window. The trees hadn't leafed out yet, and the small downtown looked as barren as she felt, with English all around her. The breaded pork tenderloin sandwich in front of her nearly covered her plate, and she had only managed a few bites. This wasn't the way she'd pictured her wedding day. It was supposed to be on a Tuesday, with a church service followed by a day-long celebration of food and fellowship. She should be wearing a blue dress and black cap. Even the food they'd eaten today was alien. There was no chicken and stuffing with lots of celery, no creamed celery. All the extra celery seed Mom had saved to plant in the garden this year for her wedding would go to waste. She chewed food she couldn't taste and sipped chlorinated water. She glanced down at the golden band on her hand. She was a married woman. No, more than that, a married English woman. Even during her room springa, her running around time, she'd never been tempted to desert her faith. Yet, here she was. "Pretty ring, isn't it?" Reese said, reaching over to squeeze her hand. "Never have I worn jewelry," she said. Reese beamed proudly until she added, "It feels very strange and sinful." His smile faded. "Finish your dinner, honey." He sounded as tired as she felt. She picked up the sandwich and tried to chew another bite. All she really wanted was to flee the place, run back to the comfort of her family. But they were dead. All dead. Her duty was to obey her husband, to love him and be as good a wife as her mother had been. He smiled at her. "We'll have a good life, Hannah. I've already found a job here in Wabash. Our apartment is across the street. It's just been renovated, and I think you'll like it."
"Downtown? Not in the country?"
She'd rarely even been to town, and the constant hubbub of cars disoriented her. "Do you always mean to question me, Hannah? I know you don't like to be told what to do, but I'm your husband. We'll be happier if you follow my leadership. This is a strange world to you, but I know what's best for us."
No, I'm sorry. Of course you do."
She was doing this all wrong.
"You are my husband. I always plan to obey you, but so many things are foreign to me. Be patient, please, Reese."
Her rebellion was what had killed her parents. She needed to be more submissive. His gaze softened. "You'll learn everything, sweetheart." He gestured at her plate. "It's obvious the food is not to your liking. Let's go see our new home." She stood so hastily she nearly knocked over the chair. Staggering a little in the unfamiliar heels, she held onto his arm all the way out to the curb. Quaint Victorian buildings lined the street. Knowing the name of the town, Wabash, made her feel still connected to her roots in the Wabash Valley, 3 hours west of here. Dodging the cars coming down the one-way street, he helped her across to the other side. She stepped onto the curb beside the stone elephants. He led her to the left, to a set of glass doors. He stopped to dig in his pocket. "I've already got the key." She went past him through a large glass door at the end of a store called Modoc's. Inside, the entry was spacious, and a wide staircase ascended to the next floor. The Victorian woodwork looked freshly refinished.
"I like this," she said.
"Finally, something meets the approval of the princess." He was smiling, but there was an edge to his tone. She tried to push away the hurt as she hurried up the majestic stairway. It would take time for them to adjust to one another. They were practically strangers, even taking into account their snatched moments together. It was the pressure of the past few days that had changed things. Once they settled in, he would be the sweet Reese with whom she'd fallen in love. Reese caught up with her at the top of the steps and pointed to a doorway on the right. He unlocked it and swung it open for her to enter. She glanced around and smiled.
"The sitting room is small, but it's cozy."
"Living room," he corrected. "You need to start getting the terminology right."
"Living room."
She walked through the furnished space to the tiny kitchen. No window at all, but she kept a smile on her face.
"It's all new."
"So's the bathroom." He showed her the minuscule bathroom just past the kitchen. She spied another small room off the hallway.
"A nursery."
He frowned. "A computer room. Let's get one thing straight right now. I don't want any kids, hon."
Her smile faltered. "Oh, Reese, you don't mean it. I want lots of babies."
"I'm serious. If you get pregnant, you can have an abortion."
Her limbs turned to ice. "It would be a mortal sin. That's taking a life."
"That's a matter of opinion." "Enough about sin, Hannah. I'm sick of hearing the word. We don't need children. All we need is you and me, happy, together."
"Why don't you want babies, Reese?" She edged closer. "They bring so much joy to a house."
His expression turned stony. "I was a foster kid with nothing that was sacred, nothing that belonged to me. I was always the last person anyone cared about. I knew someday I'd find a woman who would love me only." "Aren't I enough for you, Hannah?"
His gaze searched hers. "Of course you are, Reese." She cupped his cheek in her palm. "I love you. We won't talk about it now."
"I won't change my mind, hon."
He turned his head and kissed her palm.
"But we'll have a good life without kids."
His smile turned tender.
"Let me show you the bedroom."
A dreary gray day held Rockville in its grip. It was a shock after the sunshine in Hawaii. Matt glanced around the room of assembled deputies.
"What do you mean Reese is gone?"
"He ran off with the Amish chick," one of the men said, "after the funeral."
Matt sank onto a chair. "That's what he got for taking off 2 weeks for his honeymoon."
"What about the investigation?"
"The poison was in the cookies. Long was seen making the cookies, and he's dead."
It seemed too easy to Matt.
"Motive? And if he knew the cookies were tainted, why would he eat one?"
"According to the coroner, he likely either inhaled the strychnine or absorbed it through his skin during the baking of the cookies. It was accidental."
Captain Sturgis cleared his throat. "The motive is unclear, but that's the way it is sometimes. People do crazy things and we never figure out why."
Matt had seen plenty of that over the years.
"You find the quilts?" "We dredged the lake, but nothing turned up."
"Then he had an accomplice."
"Probably, but we have no leads. No one saw a thing. It's been a frustrating case."
"It's your baby now, with Reese gone. If you can find anything, you'll be a hero. How was the honeymoon?"
A sly grin crept out.
"Great."
He left the other deputies and went to his office. Maybe Reese had left him a note. It was unlike his partner, his foster brother, in fact, to take off without a word. Matt rummaged through his desk, but found nothing but a new report on a burglary of a local convenience store. Maybe Reese had left something with Trudy, their grandmother. Matt dialed her number. "Matthew, I never even got a postcard," she said when she picked up the phone. Stupid caller ID didn't even give him a minute to get an explanation in.
Annalise was sick a lot. Migraines. I took care of her and didn't get outside much.
She should have that checked.
That's what I told her, but she's had them for years. Hey, did you know Reese ran off with an Amish girl? Hannah Schwartz.
Silence on the other end.
Trudy?
When did this happen?
I guess after the funeral. I just heard about it. I take it he didn't come to tell you goodbye. Or leave my gun with you?
What gun?
He borrowed my revolver.
And Matt planned to get it back when he found Reese. It wasn't the gun that upset Matt, though. It was the way Reese had just disappeared without a word. After all I did for that boy, his grandmother muttered. At nearly 30, Reese was hardly a boy. But Matt said nothing. She needed to vent.
He'll probably call you once he gets settled.
Matt used to be jealous of the relationship Reese had with Trudy, but he had accepted it long ago. There was no use crying over something he couldn't change. If she wanted to love a foster kid more than her own grandson, he'd let her. The softly glowing candles on the table scented the room with cinnamon. Hannah paced the living room, pausing occasionally to listen for Reese's footsteps on the staircase. She willed herself not to cry. The special dinner was ruined. The pasta sat in a milky, soggy mess in the bottom of the pan, and the spaghetti sauce had burned in spite of the low heat. She should have shut it off and warmed it up when he got home. She'd wanted tonight, their first anniversary, to be perfect. Reese should have been home nearly 3 hours ago. He'd called from Scotty's bar 2 hours ago and said he'd be there in 15 minutes. She should have known better. When he got to swapping stories with his friends, he lost all sense of time. The outfit she wore should please him. But she was tempted to change out of the short, tight skirt into something more modest and comfortable. He didn't care anyway. She tugged on a plunging neckline. Her feet ached from the spiky high heels. These revealing clothes embarrassed her. But he always reminded her she was supposed to please him, not herself. At least, he hadn't made her go to the bar with him tonight to show her off like he did sometimes. She dragged herself to the tiny kitchen to begin cleaning up the mess. Her eyes burned, and she wished her Aunt Nora had a phone. Here in Wabash, she felt so isolated. Reese refused to take her to church or let her meet anyone other than the leering men in the bars. Was this normal for an English family? She had no way of knowing. One Sunday she had slipped away while he was working to attend the Presbyterian church up the hill on Miami Street, but when he found out, he'd been so angry he had frightened her, and she never tried it again. She heard the front door open and wiped her hands on her apron. Taking it off, she drew a deep breath, then walked down the hall to the living room to meet him. He wore a smile and held a bouquet of drooping flowers. "There's my girl," he said, his voice slurred. His eyes were bright as he stared at her. "Come give me a kiss, honey. You look good enough to eat." The thought of his drunken kisses made her shudder, and she stopped where she was. "Did you eat?"
"Of course not. I wanted to eat with my beautiful wife."
His smile widened. "Come here, Hannah." She turned and headed back toward the kitchen. He wasn't going to come home 3 hours late and then expect her to be happy to see him. "I'll fix you a hamburger or something. Dinner is ruined."
"Ruined?"
He trailed after her into the minuscule kitchen.
"If you loved me the way you should, you'd have held it for me."
She whirled. "You were supposed to be home 3 hours ago. Even if you'd come home 2 hours ago like you promised, it would have been okay. But there's nothing left now. It's all ruined."
Tears ran down her cheeks, and she swiped them with the back of her hand.
His gaze rambled around the kitchen and took in the soggy pasta, the crusted over sauce, the mushy vegetables.
"I had things to do," he said. "You have no right to question me. Don't I give you everything you want? I buy you pretty clothes and makeup, perfume and jewelry.
And I hate it." Unable to stop her voice from rising, she tugged the earrings from her ears. I feel like a harlot most of the time, like all you care about is my looks. If you loved me, you wouldn't keep me cooped up in this apartment with no friends and nothing to do. From the way his color rose, she knew she'd gone too far, but she couldn't bite back the hot words that continued to spew. You won't even let me have a baby. She picked up the pot of pasta and dumped it in the sink. She wished she had the nerve to throw the sauce on the floor, but then she'd just have to clean it up herself. He grabbed her by the shoulders. Get hold of yourself, Hannah. How dare you talk to me like that? I'm your husband. You promised to love and obey me. Her rage evaporated as quickly as it had boiled. Yes, her duty was to love this man no matter what, but why did it have to be so hard? He shook her when she didn't answer, and his face turned a more mottled red. He shoved her away from him. After all I've done for you, this is the thanks I get? Her back hit the counter, and she reached behind herself to grab it so she didn't fall. Her face flamed. You shoved me. Her voice shook. He'd never lifted a finger to her. I'll do more than shove you if you don't obey me. The color drained from his face, and he advanced toward her. She cringed and lifted her hands in a protective move, but before she got them high enough, his hand lashed out, and his palm smacked her cheek. Pain flared on her face, but shock stole her whimper. His gaze bored through her, and a muscle jumped in his cheek. She stared into the face she'd kissed and caressed, into the warm brown eyes that held no trace of a smile or love. Did she even know him? Had she ever? The Reese she thought she knew never would have lifted a hand to her. His face crumpled then, and she caught a glimpse of her real husband. He reached toward her. I'm sorry. I can't believe I did that. He folded her into his arms and whispered in her hair. Forgive me, Anna. It won't ever happen again. Even as she mouthed the words, I forgive you, she wondered if life would ever be the same. 5. The world will tell you to serve yourself first, but don't listen, Hannah. Serve others, and you'll find true happiness. Patricia Schwartz. How'd he ever let her talk him into coming up here? Reese eyed the Amish women strolling through the flea market, with a gaggle of children following them. Seeing all the Amish here in Shipshawana was likely to make her discontented, and he had had enough of that to deal with over the past 4 years. Isn't this fun? Hannah said, smiling up at him. When she smiled like that, all was right in his world, and he let his irritation drop. Want some caramel corn? When she nodded, he stopped at another vendor. The flea market at Ship, held every Tuesday and Wednesday through the summer, was famous all over Indiana and Michigan. The large space was packed with vendors hawking everything from purses to yard ornaments. He was bored already with the items. He'd rather look at guns or something. When he turned to hand Hannah her popcorn, he found her deep in conversation with an Amish woman. He'd die if she ever left him to go back to her people. His gut tightened until she turned back around with a huge smile. There's a big quilt display the next row over. She grabbed her popcorn and lit out down the aisle without even waiting for him to say it was okay. He would never understand her obsession with quilts. Why did she never look at him with the same concentration she gave them? His thoughts were always of her first, and he'd hoped for the same from her. He darted after her, intending to grab her arm and insist they go back to the car, but a man with a wagon got in his way. Then three children darted in front of him. By the time he disentangled himself, she was nowhere in sight. He bit back a curse and stalked down the aisles. Nearly half an hour passed before he found her. She sat at a picnic table with her shoulders slumped and tears on her cheeks. When she saw him, she rose and brushed at her wet face. They weren't there. Would you just stop looking? The quilts will never show up. She would never find her mother's stolen quilts, but that wasn't what concerned him. He hated catching that faraway expression on her face. Maybe she wished she'd never left her people, wished she'd married the yodeling farm boy, Noah.
He couldn't abide the thought.
What? They have to be somewhere, Reese.
I forbid you to go looking any more, Hannah.
He said it as sternly as he could with other people close by. She bit her lip, and her face took on the mulish expression he hated, but she just bowed her head and nodded.
Let's go, he told her. We're done here. I want to get back to Wabash.
It had been a mistake to bring her here. She needed to forget the old life. Concentrate on him and being a good wife. After 4 years of training, he should have managed to eradicate the last traces of her defiance. She knew how her obsession bothered him, but she continued to search anyway. When the quilts were on her mind, he took second place. She followed him out to the truck.
"Can we stop at Blue Gate Restaurant for lunch?" she asked when they got into the hot cab.
He glanced at her bowed head. All he wanted was to get out of town before she stopped and talked to every Amish woman around.
"Sure, honey. Just give me a smile first."
He waited until her head came up and her smile broke out, then drove to the restaurant. They joined the throng of people flooding into the place. It had been expanded to seat more than 600 people, and the crowd annoyed him. He ate a whole jar of the peanut butter spread and asked for more while Hannah just picked at a piece of homemade bread.
"I thought you wanted to eat here, but you're hardly touching anything."
"My stomach is a little upset."
He caught the longing on her face when she engaged their Amish waitress, a young girl, in conversation. So much for learning something from the scolding. He shouldn't have brought her in here. She needed to be as far from these people as possible. She'd nagged him for years about finding an Amish community. Of all things, she wanted him to convert. He'd nixed that idea quickly enough, but she wouldn't let it rest. After the girl brought their meals, he bolted his down.
"Let's go."
She left her spoon in the half-eaten bowl of homemade chicken noodle soup and followed him out to the truck. For the whole ride home, she drooped against the door and stared out the window. When the truck zoomed around a buggy, she tensed and stared at the occupants.
"Riding in a buggy is different from riding in a vehicle," she said.
"Yeah, the truck's faster."
The last thing he wanted was to talk about the Amish. He didn't want her longing for her old life. He'd given up everything for her.
"You're not insulated in a buggy. You're part of the community. We would call to friends out the open windows, smell the flowers, feel the breeze."
"Do you always have to disagree with me, Hannah?"
His hands gripped the steering wheel. There wasn't an ounce of gratitude in her. After all he'd done for her, she still longed for her family. It wasn't right. They drove in silence until the truck got out of Shipshawana. She fiddled with her seat belt, adjusting it across her stomach in a weird way he'd never seen. He was about to tell her to quit it when she folded her hands in her lap and tipped her head to look at him.
"Reese, I have something to tell you."
"What is it?"
"I'm pregnant."
His foot came up and jammed on the brakes. He steered the truck to the side of the road, and a car zipped around him, blaring its horn. The male occupant thrust out his middle finger and shouted something as he flew past. On another day, Reese might have gunned the truck after him and tailgated him, but he was too shaken to react. He turned to stare her in the face.
"What did you say?"
Maybe he had misheard. His pulse was thumping in his ears, and he could hardly draw in a lungful of air. She shrank away from him with her hand up for protection.
"We're going to have a baby, Reese."
Her smile was too bright.
"Don't you think it's time? We've been married over 4 years.
"No, it's not time. I'll take you to a clinic for an abortion."
He clenched his fists, but had the self-restraint not to hit her. Maybe it was an accident. If it wasn't, she'd have to be taught a lesson for her own good.
"I'm not having an abortion." Her chin jutted out. "I'm not, Reese. You can't make me. I'll leave you first."
Her voice trembled just a little. He couldn't believe he was hearing those words from her mouth.
"You think your family would take you back in after leaving your husband? You know they won't."
She grabbed his arm with both hands.
"Don't make me choose between you and the baby." You think I'll ignore you for the baby, but I won't. I promise. I love you.
You've already chosen the brat over me.
He couldn't believe it. Couldn't comprehend that she'd defy him so completely. The unfamiliar emotion shaking him was fear. Fear of losing her love. Fear of their perfect life changing. She squeezed his hand. No, I haven't. I can balance things. Give me a chance, Reese. Give us a chance. Staring into her pleading face, he weakened. Maybe she was right. She was too soft to do what had to be done.
Okay, but you have to have your priorities right. I'm the man of the house, and I expect you to pay me the respect I deserve. Understood?
Understood. She threw her arms around him and rained kisses on his face, which was just the way it should be. Hannah yodeled a tune under her breath as she cut the thread on the last curtain panel. The baby's room would be finished as soon as she hung the curtains. With difficulty, she rose from the chair and carried the panels from the sewing room into the small room off the hall. Everything was in place. The tiny sleepers and onesies lay folded in the dresser drawers, and she'd finished the last pair of knitted booties. The hand-stitched quilt she'd made lay folded at the foot of the crib. Soon her little one would be safe in her arms. The sunlight streaming through the window lit the yellow walls with even more color. A crib mobile swung in the breeze above the bed. It was all perfect. Or rather, it would be in 2 weeks when the baby arrived. Hannah put her hand on her swollen belly and felt the child kick against her hand. Soon, little one. Reese had chosen for them not to learn the baby's gender, but she felt in her heart it was a girl. Her smile faded. She'd never imagined marriage could be like walking through a field of buried explosives. Reese had a lot of pain inside, pain she'd failed to soothe. If inflicting pain on her soothed his, maybe it was her lot in life, a lot she deserved after what she'd done. Moving carefully, she climbed onto a chair and hung the curtains. The soft color looked perfect against the walls. It was only when she glanced at her watch that she caught her breath. It was nearly 6, and she hadn't even started dinner. Reese would be furious. As if on cue, his whistle sounded on the stairs outside the apartment door, and she heard Reese call her name. She should have had dinner ready. He was always angrier when he was hungry. Holding the back of the chair, she managed to get down in one piece. She knew she looked as big as a beached whale. Reese hated her cumbersome size. A sharp cramp struck, and she bit back a groan so he wouldn't hear. He hated complainers. Could this be labor? He pounded on the door.
Hannah, I forgot my key.
When had dread replaced delight at his appearance? After that first slap, she'd been sure there would be no more. He was always so sorry, but not sorry enough to keep his fists to himself. Her mother would have said she'd made her own bed. And she had. But she'd never expected that bed to be so full of nails. There was no going back. At least he'd let her get her GED the first year. And now, after 5 years of marriage, she would soon have her college degree as well. He was a good man at heart. The baby would make everything better. They'd be a real family. Maybe Reese's obsession with her would ease. She would have joy in her life that eclipsed the heartache. The baby would change everything. It was her only hope. "I'm coming," she gasped out, still in the grip of the contraction. The strength of it surprised her. Maybe this was the real thing. She managed to get to the door and fumble with the deadbolt. It was always a little stiff. She threw open the door to see him stalking away in his police uniform. She rushed after him to stand at the top of the wide staircase down to the street. "I'm here, Reese." He turned around and mounted the steps again. He kissed her, and she clung to him as another contraction took her. "Breathe. Don't let him see yet." She couldn't explain her panic. Reese would take care of her. He was a take-charge kind of guy. He'd get her suitcase and make sure she got through this. He nuzzled her neck.
"I'm starved. What did my little wife fix me?"
He raised his head.
"I don't smell anything cooking."
Dinner isn't even started, is it?
Disapproval dripped from his words. I think I'm in labor, she gasped as another contraction hit. She grabbed the top of the banister for support.
Don't make excuses. The baby isn't due for another 2 weeks. You were too busy playing in the baby's room to think about me, weren't you?
I'm disappointed in you, Hannah.
No, really, Reese. Here, feel. I think it's really labor.
She tried to put his hand on her belly, but he jerked away. Fear battered at her, but she tried to stifle it. He wouldn't hurt her when she was pregnant.
Is this how it's going to be when the baby comes? You, all wrapped up in the kid, and never paying me any attention.
His eyes glittered, and he grabbed her arm. His fingers pressed into her flesh. She managed not to wince.
No, of course not.
She knew the expression on his face. If she had somewhere to go, she'd leave here and never look back. Her anger simmered, but she had to keep it from boiling over. If she lost control, her punishment would be greater. She should soothe and placate him, but she didn't have the energy.
You're hurting me, Reese.
He dropped his hand, and the flare in his eyes banked to a dim glow. He raked his hand through his hair.
Hannah, you always know how to push my buttons. If you'd honor me like you should, this wouldn't happen. It's my duty to train you up properly, but you make the job harder than it should be.
Even though she knew he was only manipulating her, she dropped her head. It was true she'd forgotten him today. Someday she wished she could forget him forever. Tears blurred her vision. His hand reached out again and caressed her bare arm. He backed her against the wall. His head came down, and he nuzzled her neck again. His touch made bile rise in her throat, and she escaped his grip instead of raising her face for his kiss. She knew it was a mistake when she saw the manic anger blaze into his eyes. He stepped toward her, but he didn't touch her.
I told you right from the start that I wasn't father material. I want a wife, not a nursemaid, a lover, not a nanny. When that kid comes, we're not keeping it.
Too late, she realized, he blamed the baby for her brief flash of defiance. She couldn't let him take her baby.
It won't happen again, Reese, really. I'm so sorry, she babbled.
Love and anger vied for control of his face. She backed up until she stood at the edge of the stairs. She should have watched her tongue. She lifted her face to him. He could hit her there and not hurt the baby. Mottled red had crept up his face.
I should have seen that rebellious streak in you. I'm your husband, Hannah. I know what's best, but you never seem to listen.
I know you do.
She put her hand up to cup his face. She forced herself to smile. I've got steaks out for dinner. I'll have them ready in 15 minutes. His hands gripped her shoulders.
You promised me you wouldn't put the baby ahead of me, but you're already doing it.
She wrenched away from his painful grip.
I'm not, Reese. You're the most important person in my life.
Too late, she realized she teetered on the top step. Hannah's arms pinwheeled out as she struggled to catch the banister, but the staircase was too wide. His hands rushed out toward her, but she lost the fight to regain her balance. His hand struck her shoulder. Then she was tumbling down the steps. She thought to protect the baby, and she tried to curl into a ball. Her head slammed against the railing, and she saw colors as brilliant as fireworks. Everything rushed by in a blur. The rails and the carpet alternating in her view. Protecting her stomach proved impossible. At least she and the baby would be together. In seconds, she lay in a crumpled heap at the bottom of the stairs. Reese's footsteps rushed toward her, and she tried to scoot away. A vice of pain gripped her stomach, and her vision faded to black. Reese cried out her name in an anguished voice. Something warm trickled between her legs. Then the pain blotted out the world. The machines beeped in the hospital room. Reese sat in the chair beside Hannah's bed. His gaze went to the monitors, and he put his head in his hands. She couldn't die. He'd be lost if she died. She stirred, and he looked, but her eyes didn't open. Her hand swept across her stomach, then settled there. A grimace twisted her lips, and he was sorry for the pain she would experience.
It might be hard for a while, but she'd come to realize it was better this had happened. His gaze touched her face. Hannah's long lashes lay on her cheeks, even pale from the trauma. She was so beautiful. Her tawny hair spread out over the pillow. He loved to plunge his face into her long locks. They were so like his real mother's, the only happy memory of his childhood. He laid his hand on her forehead and smoothed her hair. It was time for her to wake up. "Hannah," he said in a firm voice, "wake up." Her lashes fluttered and pain contorted her features. "Sleep," she muttered. "You can sleep later. Open your eyes." A commanding tone usually worked with her. She sighed, and her eyes finally opened but remained bleary and unfocused. "Look at me, Hannah." She blinked, her gaze sharpening when she took in his face.
"Reese, where am I?"
"You're in the hospital, hon."
"Hospital? The baby came?"
Her hand moved over her stomach again.
"Was it a girl?"
"Hon, the baby died." She rolled her head from side to side.
"I want my baby. Give her to me."
"She's dead, love. I'm sorry."
"A girl?"
Her gaze sharpened again. "Yes, but she didn't make it." An expression he couldn't read passed over her face, but she didn't argue with him again. "Are you in pain? Do you need anything?"
She struggled to sit up. "Can I have some water?"
He knew she'd turn to him for comfort. He started to pour some water, but the pitcher was nearly empty. He had been drinking it through the night while she slept. "Let me get the nurse. I'll be right back." No one was at the nurse's station, so we wandered down the hall looking for ice. All he found were patients' rooms. He finally found an aide in the last room, and she ordered him to cool his heels in the hall while she finished checking her patient's vitals. She led him back the other way, and he waited while she went to a small room he'd missed. He'd been gone nearly 20 minutes by the time he made it back to Hannah's room. When he pushed open the door, the bed was empty. He thought she was in the bathroom, but the door was open and the light off. "Hannah?" He whirled to look in every corner of the room. The clothes locker stood open, empty of her things. A hospital gown lay on the floor. She couldn't have left. No way could she have passed him in the hall without his noticing. He sprang toward the door and looked down the hall in both directions. An exit sign beckoned from the end opposite the nurse's station. Beneath it, a door was just closing. He ran down the hall and shoved the door. When it opened, he saw Hannah stepping into an elevator. "Wait!" He rushed to intercept her, but the elevator doors closed before he could get to them. He caught only a glimpse of her stony face looking back at him. Where was her obedience, her respect? He jabbed the elevator button several times. "Come on, come on!" When no elevator appeared, he glanced around for the stairs and found the exit. Plunging down the flights, he planned how he would punish her for this. She would be sorry she crossed him. He threw open the first floor door into a lobby looking out over the parking lot. On the other side of the glass, Hannah was getting into a vehicle. His truck. "Stop!" He ran through the lobby and out the door. He had his hand on the truck's door handle when the vehicle peeled away, tires screeching. His wife turned to look out the window at him. It seemed impossible she'd done this to him. How dare she openly defy him? When had she gotten a key made? Had she been planning this in the past weeks when she'd coaxed him into teaching her to drive? She'd said she would sometimes need to take the baby to the doctor. She'd tricked him. Swearing, he dug his cell phone out of his pocket and called his partner on the police force. She had no place to go but home. His partner met him in 15 minutes. They drove at top speed to the apartment and parked on Market Street. Reese bounded up the steps, but found only an empty apartment. She'd already been here and left with her suitcase, probably the one packed for the hospital. She'd escaped him, and somehow he knew finding her wouldn't be easy. An unfamiliar sensation washed over him, and he touched his eyes. They were wet. He and Hannah belonged together. He knew with certainty they'd be together again. Part 2. 5 years later. 6. The Lone Star quilt is a reminder that we aren't created to be loners. The Amish prize family and community above all else. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. Hannah's gaze wandered the living room of her home, a modern ranch that rambled over a postcard-sized Milwaukee yard. Quilts hung from every wall and also lay draped on quilt racks in every corner. She knew the history of every one, who had made it, the year, the purpose for its creation. They were her children, the only ones she'd ever have. The thought depressed her. Angie Wang, Hannah's publicist and assistant, ticked off the items on her list. You've got an interview with McCall's Quilting Magazine at 9. A camera crew from Channel 6 is coming in 45 minutes. Tomorrow is even busier with packing to fly to New York to film Fox and Friends. Near Hannah's age of 32, Angie looked slim and elegant in her gray pantsuit and coordinating shoes. But then, she was always put together. Hannah nodded. The whirlwind success of her book had stunned and humbled her, and sometimes the demands on her time exhausted her. But what about the book and the quilt for the cover? You've got to slow down the publicity stuff, Angie, just for a few weeks until I can catch my breath. This opportunity won't come around again. We have to make hay while the sun shines. You'll get it done. Angie dismissed Hannah's fears with an airy wave of her hand. Yes, I know. We have so much to be thankful for. But I've got work to do at the office, too. I need to figure out how to work it all in without going insane. She forced a smile in spite of her fatigue. Angie consulted her notebook. Interview first. The auction isn't until 11. We'll go in long enough for that. I think the staff is throwing a farewell party for you as well. A pang pressed against Hannah's ribs. The museum had been her family, and she'd missed them all. She'd never guessed that the success of her book, Amish Quilts, A Factual History, would catapult her to such fame. It had been on every major bestseller list for 6 months, and her publisher was clamoring for the new book's publication to be moved up. It was like being hit by lightning. You'd better get changed. Angie stepped to the window and glanced outside. The mail is here. I'll go get it while you change. Hannah nodded and dumped Spooky, one of her four cats, off her foot. Black, with a white marking at his neck, the cat loved to lay on her feet. She quickly changed into the clothes Angie had laid out, a black skirt and chunky gray sweater with tasteful pearls. Angie had tried to get her to spice up her wardrobe, but Hannah insisted on maintaining her image as an academic, and her publicist eventually quit hounding her. Hannah checked her hair and found the French twist still intact. When she stepped back into the living room, she found Angie going through the mail. Anything interesting? She asked. Looks like a personal letter, Angie said, holding out an envelope. It's from my aunt. She opened the envelope and discovered it held another envelope and a letter. She pulled them both out, and her gaze fell on the inside envelope, one bearing familiar, bold handwriting. Reese's writing. The envelope burned her hands, and she dropped it onto the floor as the familiar bitterness burned like bile. The dark letters shouted at Hannah. Her limbs froze. What's wrong? Angie asked. She stepped to Hannah's side. Who's it from? Don't touch it. Hannah had hoped never to see that handwriting again. Just looking at it brought Reese's harsh voice to her head. Her hands curled into fists. If she ever saw him again, she'd kill him. If not for him, her baby girl would be with her now. Angie's dark eyes widened. Is it that bad? My husband. Hannah's limbs trembled with the strength of her rage. I don't want to see anything he has to say. I'd hoped he'd never find me here. Angie gave her a speculative look. You're married? You've never told me. We've been separated for 5 years. I guess it's possible he filed for divorce and charged me with desertion. She should be so lucky. You'd better read it. Angie scooped it up off the floor. What do you have to be afraid of? Hannah didn't reply. She stared, immobile, at the letter. Oh, Hannah, was he abusive? Hannah took a step back. I can't talk about it. Let's make some of your fabulous meadow tea before the reporter gets here. We'll read the letter together, and it will be okay. You'll see, he can't hurt you now. You don't know Reese, Hannah blurted. She took a deep breath and held out her hand. I'll read it now. The paper crackled in her hand. When she removed the single sheet of paper, a picture fluttered to the ground, and Angie retrieved it. Hannah didn't look at it. She just put it face down on top of her desk. First things first. Reese was sure to plead for her to come back. It had taken him 5 years to find her, and she'd begun to hope that her hidey hole would stay secure, or that he'd moved on. She'd been strident about protecting her location from the media. She unfolded the letter. He'd handwritten the note. Every day, for 5 years, he'd left her instructions for the day on the kitchen table. She'd grown to loathe the sight of his penmanship. "Want me to read it?" Angie asked when Hannah let her hand containing the letter drop to her side. Hannah held it out to her friend without a word. Angie took it and began to read. "Hi, hon. It's been so long, and I've missed you so much. We need to talk. There are things to discuss. Isn't our daughter cute? She looks just like my beautiful wife. Give us a chance to be a real family. Call me, Hannah. My cell phone number is 317-555-1212. I promise it will be different." Hannah put her hand to her throat. What did he mean? Hysterical laughter bubbled in her throat, but she choked it back. Angie looked up. "Our daughter? What is this, Hannah?" She glanced down at the envelope. "There's another note in here." "From Reese?" "No, it's signed Aunt Nora. Want me to read it, too?" "Sure." Why would her aunt send a letter to her from Reese? Nora knew Hannah wanted no contact with him. Angie cleared her throat. "Hannah, my dear, Reese has assumed I'm still in touch with you." "He's right, of course. This letter showed up addressed to you. I opened it and was torn over whether I should send it. But in the end, I thought you should see this, since it mentions your daughter. I hope it's not too upsetting." Hannah wrapped her arms around herself. The memories of her fall began to flood back, but she refused to think about it. He was just trying to twist the knife. And doing a good job. Her daughter was dead. Her gaze went to the picture. She picked it up and turned it over. A little girl of about 5 stood looking into the camera. Her auburn curls sprang from her head. Her golden brown eyes smiled along with her mouth. She was in front of a familiar covered bridge. Squinting, Hannah could make out the words above it. It was the Narrows Bridge, just 2 miles from her old home. Hannah could have been looking at a picture of herself at that age. "It can't be," she whispered. She tried to find another explanation. Maybe it was Lucas' child. She'd tried to call him at work several times, but she always lost her nerve before he got to the phone. She glanced at the photo again. No, that couldn't be right. Aunt Nora wouldn't have sent this if it were a picture of Lucas' child. Besides, the child wasn't dressed Amish. She pressed her fingers to her head. "Oh, I'm so confused. Let me see." Angie took the picture from Hannah's fingers. "Hannah, she looks like you." "You have a daughter?" Hannah shook her head slowly and began to recount the story. Every muscle screamed in agony. Her mind replayed falling down the steps. She thought he'd pushed her, but even if it had been accidental, the fall killed her baby, and it was his fault. The horror of that knowledge nearly made her vomit. She'd shared her bed, her dreams with that man. He'd taken everything she had to give, and then destroyed what she treasured most. "Could I have some water?" she whispered from the hospital bed. She had to get him out of the room. When he left to get the water, she threw back the covers and staggered from the bed. Ignoring the pain that gripped her, she managed to get to the closet. She had to hurry. He'd be back any minute. She had to escape him once and for all, or he would kill her, too. She managed to pull on her skirt and blouse, to thrust her feet into her shoes. Her purse was in the bottom of the locker. If she could get to the shelter, they would take care of her, she had been told. When he'd broken her arm last year, the nurse had insisted Hannah take the information about a shelter. It took her way too long to get dressed with the agony slowing her movements. He'd be back any second. Nearly bending double with the pain, she peeked out the door. To her left, Reese had his back to her and was haranguing a nurse. To her right was another exit. She slipped out of the room and hurried to the door as fast as the pain would allow. Glancing behind her, she saw Reese starting back to the room. She slipped into another doorway and waited until he entered her room. A patient behind her asked a question, but she had no strength to answer. As soon as the coast was clear, she darted back to the hallway through the exit and rushed toward the elevator. It dinged and opened almost as soon as she punched the button, and she breathed a prayer of thanks. She stepped inside and pressed the lobby button. As the doors closed, she heard Reese's angry shout. Her last glimpse of him caught the murderous expression in his eyes. When Hannah finished her story, she found Angie wiping tears from her cheeks.
"I'm so sorry,"
Angie whispered. "Have you seen him since?"
"No. I made it to the shelter. They helped me change my name to Hannah Miller, which I've used in my private life. Hid me while I got a legal separation. I don't believe in divorce. I finished my master's degree and got this job 3 years ago with their help. I always thought he'd find me again."
She'd spent the last 5 years watching children on the street, wondering what her daughter would have looked like if she had lived. The pain had never gone away. She knew better than to let herself hope. Reese's manipulation had caused her pain too many times in the past.
"Do you think he pushed you on purpose? To kill the baby?" I've never been positive. I thought I felt a hard shove. It was enough to send me running away before he killed me."
She looked back down at the picture.
"Surely she's not still alive."
Just saying the words made hope spring to life.
"I can't tell where this is," Angie said, looking at the picture again.
"Park County, Indiana. The place she missed above all others. But it wouldn't be the same now, not with her family gone."
"So he's trying to say the baby didn't die from the fall? That when she was born, he took her to Park County? How is that possible? He was with you in the hospital."
Hannah hadn't thought of that.
"Maybe he had someone help him."
It was stupid to try to argue this into being.
"Oh, I don't know what he would do. I could never second-guess Reese,"
though she tried for 5 long years.
"But she's not with my family."
"How do you know?" "She's not dressed Amish."
"What are you going to do?"
Before Angie asked, Hannah hadn't been sure, but she lifted her head.
"I'm going home to find out."
"Hannah, you can't. We've got a full lineup of publicity events." Angie crossed her arms over her chest.
"Reschedule them. This is important."
"Your book sales are important. You owe this to your publishing house. This time may never come again, Hannah. Be smart about it." Hannah hesitated. Maybe Angie was right. They were riding the crest of a wave. "I'll do today's, and I'll do Fox and Friends, but reschedule the rest." Angie must have recognized the inflexible tone of Hannah's voice because she nodded. "This journey might make the news if we let it out. I don't want anyone to know what's going on." The odds were against the child's being her daughter. And Hannah would look foolish for thinking otherwise. Besides, her loss was too painful to talk about. "Everyone would sympathize with your plight, and the publicity might help you find the little girl faster."
"No, I couldn't do that to her. I expect Reese is just messing with my head anyway."
She should put it out of her mind, tear up the picture, and get on with her life. She looked down at the picture in her hand again. What if this child really was her daughter?
"I don't know the guy," Angie said, "but could this be his way of flushing you out?"
"Maybe, but it doesn't matter. I have to know." The desire scorched her. If there was even the slightest possibility that this little girl could be hers, Hannah would follow any rabbit trail, walk on nails, climb mountains. She'd even face the devil himself, Reese, the man she suspected might have killed her parents. 7. The Sunshine Diamond Quilt is simple, but has a beautiful message. Look for the good everywhere. Hannah Schwartz in The Amish Faith Through Their Quilts. A lightning rod rode the crest of the roof, and as